Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. Raise your hands and praise Him.
Praise God. And in Genesis chapter 28, in the absence of Richard working today, amen. Let's begin with about the 11th verse. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took out of the stones that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Amen. In the different countries, they use different things for pillows to keep your head off the ground. And another reason they need something under the head is so that you'll be in a watching position when you do. Something stirs and you do open your eyes, you'll be in a watching position. You can see what's around you. Amen. You're not just looking straight up. So in Africa, they'd get a forked limb and stick it in the ground and put their head in the fork of the limb, and that kept their head erect so that they, while they slept, they could keep one eye open and they keep an eye on the things around them. Amen. And even if they were sleeping, it still looked like they was kind of watching. Amen. He's not all that much out of it. He may be just playing possum, and so they keep their head propped up. Amen. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land that thou, whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. Amen. He's getting ready to leave it. He's on the first leg of the journey, out, going back to Haran, back to his kinfolk's place. Amen. He's going to find him a wife over there, two of them, and bring them back to this place. But right now, he's on the way out. He don't know if he'll ever be back. And God speaks to him and said, I'm going to give you this land. Hallelujah. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Boy, that's a lot, ain't it? And thou shalt spread upon abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. And behold, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I'll not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord's in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place. Amen. Oh boy, I mean, you don't get light when you get in the presence of God. It becomes a thing of great fear and trembling sometimes. Amen. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R. Amen. And poured oil upon the top of it. Called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. But Jacob gave it a new name. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. Amen. Joshua chapter 4. Amen. Joshua commanded the priests, verse 17, come ye up out of Jordan. It came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the robes of the feast, the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, and the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over to its bank as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and Captain Gilgal in the east border of Jericho, and these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask of their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful. Be not forgetful. Amen. To entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That word entertain don't mean sing to them, play the guitar to them, amen, and croon to them and tell them funny stories to cheer them up. No, that's not what it means. Amen. It means to feed them and give them something to drink and something to wear if they need it, and a place to sleep if they need it. Amen. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Whoa, whoa, back up here. Remember. Remember them. First he says, be not forgetful. And then he says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Amen. This day of moral looseness and very loose ideas concerning marriage vows, we need to remember our marriage vows that we took when we stood solemnly before God and these witnesses and said, until death do us part, I take this man, this woman. We need to remember that. Let your conversation, that means your life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't forget that. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 7 says, remember. This is just one of the many times he said, remember. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then the 8th verse tells us what their conversation was. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't forget that. Praise God. Oh, this is a memorial week. Amen. And it will culminate in a thousand different celebrations by next weekend. Amen. And people will be taking their flight to Kentucky, and some have already gone, and and will already be back. Amen. And I wouldn't mind to take a flight or two myself. Amen. But we need to be careful lest we forget. Why do we need memorials? Because we're so prone to forget. I am. You have any problem? Amen. Along that line. Oh, how forgetful we are. Amen. Yeah. Amen. One of the signs of old age, two of the signs of old age is absent-mindedness, and I can't remember what the other one is. Amen. It's just automatic. Amen. We're weak in the flesh, and we're prone to forget. Amen. Don't tell your wife you forgot. She'll get offended. Amen. I'm sorry, honey, I forgot. Ah, she'll think, am I no more important than that? Don't tell your husband you forgot. He's liable to get his feelings hurt. He'll think, am I no more important than that? Amen. A dear old gentleman had been sick and got well, came back to church, and I said, praise God, you're there, brother. I meant to come and see you, and I did the wrong thing. I went against my own advice. I said, but I forgot you. And it hurt his feelings. And rightly so. Amen. I was just trying to be honest, but some things you don't want to tell. Amen. There's some things it's better off unsaid. Amen. Brother Warren Moorhead, in preaching about Samson and Delilah, said, it may be a good thing to tell a woman some things, but he said, don't tell her all your heart. When Samson got to the place he told her all his heart, he got in trouble, didn't he? Amen. So don't tell her all your heart. Amen. I'll get on the right side of you ladies another time. Praise God. Hey, amen. The reason, praise God, that Jacob put up that pillow that he lay on and made a pillar out of it, he didn't want to forget that God came by there. If we're not careful, we'll get God covered up and all the other stuff. We need to build a memorial high enough for you to stick out when everything else piles up. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Hey, and bless your heart, I mean God spoke. Hey, I mean he thought he was dreaming. God was talking to him. And he said, I'm going to make your seed like a dust of the earth. I'm going to give you this land from the north to the east, the south and west. I'm going to make your children like a dust of the earth. Amen. I'm going to fill up the north, the east, the south, the west with your children. Praise God. And old Jacob shook himself and woke up and said, this is a house of God. I didn't know it. Amen. I mean a golden ladder. Stretched from earth to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Angels going up the ladder and coming back down. Going up the ladder and coming back down. He's going up the ladder to heaven and getting something and bringing it back down. Ooh. They was meeting Jacob's needs. And he didn't realize angels were attending. I'm going to set me up a pillar. Praise God. Oh, if this was really God speaking and he does what he said, amen, that settles it. He's my God. Praise God. And whatever he gives me, he said, I'm going to give him the tenth. Who told Jacob to give a tithe, a tenth? Who told him to give 10%? Wasn't nothing said about that. In that conversation in the dark of night, wasn't nothing said about that. Angels ascending and descending. Amen. Wasn't nothing said about that. Amen. Why did Jacob say, I'll give thee the tenth? Because it was the unwritten law of God handed down from Adam right to Jacob's time. Jacob already knew that he ought to pay tithes. Amen. And everybody else does. If they wouldn't just harden their heart to it. Amen. Everybody else does. It's automatic, folks. Amen. Hey, praise God. A good Baptist, he may not live much otherwise, but he'll pay his tithes. Amen. Glory to God. There's a bunch of Pentecostals up and down this valley that wouldn't make good Baptists. Tell them I said so. Because they forgot God when it comes to this tithing thing. Amen. Oh, and I'll tell you something else. They may shout a little bit, but they're spiritually hungry and starving. Amen. They're lacking something. Huh? Amen. Glory to God. Water can make a lot of noise if it's only an inch deep. You get enough wind blowing on it. Amen. And there's a whole bunch of them that's not very deep. Amen. Tell them I said so. Praise God. Jacob, when he got looking up that golden ladder and woke up, he said, God's in this place. Angels attending. Praise God. He said, I'm with thee. He said, I'll keep thee. He said, I'll bring you back. And he said, I'll not leave you. And Jacob said, what in the world can I do? Amen. To repay. And the least figure he could come up with was 10%. That's the least figure he could come up with. Amen. 10%. He said, I'll give you the tenth. Folks, amen, the tenth is the least figure that anybody in the Bible or out of the Bible ever come up with. It is, amen, so pertinent and so applicable that the United States government copied it with the original IRS. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I am with thee. I'll not leave you, nor forsake me. What was Jacob's response to his revival? You know, every time Israel backslid, they quit tithing. Every time Israel backslid, they quit tithing. Amen. Yeah. And what's the matter with folks that don't tithe? They're backslid. That far. Amen. I mean, they're getting in debt to God. Praise God. Every time they had a revival, they went back to tithing. Jacob was in bad shape when he laid down and went to sleep that night, but he had a revival there in Bethel. The first one he ever had there. Praise God. And when he woke up out of that revival, he said, I'm going to give God the tenth. Hallelujah. Israel got far from God in Hezekiah's day, but Hezekiah got the priest out of the field, brought him back out of the defense plants and out of the factory. Amen. Put him back in the church and put him back to work for God. Amen. And instructed the people to bring in the tithes. And the people so glad for the revival, they brought it up in such heaps they had to build storehouses for it. Amen. Why? Because Hezekiah was having, pardon the term, but it's country, the awfulest revival you ever saw. Amen. I mean, it was a sight what kind of revival Hezekiah was a having. Amen. And people started paying tithes again. Praise God. Every time people had revival, they began to support the work of God again. Every time they got over their backsliding, they began to give offerings again. Praise God. They beautified the house of God again. Amen. They brought the preacher out of the factory. Glory to God. And put into work full time. Praying and seeking God and waiting on God for something from heaven. For power from on high. To give to the people some new gift. Hallelujah. Amen. You think you're doing all right without it. You're not doing near as good as you think you are. What mean ye these stones in Joshua chapter 4 as 12 of the princes of Israel? Amen. Carried it a stone from the bottom of Jordan. Amen. Wagged that stone out of that river and piled it up. Praise God on the other side. And some more wagged some stones down in the river and piled them up. Amen. And so when Jordan went down, they could see that pile of rocks out there. Amen. And when they camped on the Jordan, they could see that pile of rocks. And the kids would ask them when they was on a picnic down at Jordan, what's these stones all about? Amen. And he said, that's where the skirts of the priest touched the river. Amen. And God stepped in it and backed it up. Praise God to the city of Adam. Hallelujah. Rolled these waters back by a miracle. And the people walked across Jordan dry shod at flood time. Springtime. Amen. Hold Jordan out of her banks. You talk about a lake. Ooh-wee. Amen. What mean these stones? This is where God stepped in Jordan. It happened right here. God did that. God did that miracle. Daddy, we need a miracle. If God could do that back then, He can do it again. Hallelujah. That's why we need memorials. We forget. In Joshua chapter 22, when Gad and half-tribe Manasseh and Reuben, amen, were sent back across Jordan, they built them an altar. Amen. At first, the people misunderstood them. They was about to declare war on them and wipe them out in Joshua chapter 22. Amen. And they said, no, said, we're not building this altar to offer sacrifice on. No, we're not building this altar to worship it. We're building this altar to remind us where we belong and where we came from, that we're Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what? That satisfied Joshua and the children of Israel. Amen. And they named the altar Ed. An altar named Ed. Praise God. It means the Lord is God. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Our children, don't forget where you came from. Remember, the Lord is God. Hallelujah. You look at this altar called Ed. Amen. Why do we have the ordinance of the church called communion? Amen. Baptism in water? That reminds us of what we are and who we are and where we came from. We take the wine and the bread. We're reminded of the body broken for us and the blood shed for us. And we shew forth the Lord's death until He come. Hallelujah. These memorials say that you're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That you're healed by the body of a lamb. Oh, hallelujah. That was the great sin of the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's the reason there were so many sick and weakly, and many already prematurely dead in the church. Amen. Because they did not discern the body of Christ. It's very important that we discern the body of Christ. When we take that bread, we're attempting to discern the body of Christ. Hallelujah. But now here's what was happening in Corinth. The more well-to-do people were eating off to themselves, said, we brought our own lunch, brought our own stuff. We're not going to share with them. But I remember going to grade school. The Wallace kids was the poorest of the whole country. And they lived in a one-room log cabin, too. It didn't have any floor in it either. But Lloyd and Floyd and Magdalene and Dolly and Bobby, They were so poor. They brought biscuit and gravy sandwiches to school. And they had such poor dew in their dinner bucket, they didn't eat with the rest of the kids. They were ashamed to. They ate off to the side. We'd see them over there, 50 yards away, eating together. Why? Because Lloyd and Floyd, Lloyd's one of the smartest boys in the whole school. Lloyd had a head on him, but he was in a poor family. Amen. Lloyd and Floyd and Bobby and Magdalene and Dolly, they were poor kids. Amen. Well, amen. Here's what was happening in the church. There was some that was coming to the love feast, the communion. They didn't have much to eat. And the rest of the church kind of fenced them off. And they despised the poor in the church. Amen. And they looked down the nose at them. You talk about looking down your ecclesiastical nose. There's a whole lot of nose looking down. Amen. In the Corinthian church. Amen. And Jesus said through Paul, he said, you're making a big mistake. He said, you're not discerning that this is the body of Christ too. You're not discerning that these poor saints are part of the body too. Amen. And he said, I tell you the reason there's so many so weak and so sickly among you and many sleep. You're hating and despising part of the body of Christ and you can't do it and get by. Amen. You mistreat the body of Christ. Did you know that God hears the cry of the poor? Amen. Sometimes he hears them better than anybody. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Hey! Amen. One of the reasons I think God gave my wife such victory over cancer is because we're sending a host of tapes into Africa. And they may be poor in Nigeria. We've got as high as 31 letters from Nigeria in one day asking for tapes. Amen. They may be poor in Nigeria, but Brother Osroy said he had never seen anybody pray like those saints in Nigeria. Boy, they could pray. He might have been poor in Ghana. Praise God. Those poor little Christians could pray. They may be poor in Haiti. Ah, but God hears the cry of those poor little Christians in Haiti. Glory to God. You may be missing your very healing. You may be coming short on your very miracle by not discerning the body of Christ. Forget about them. Let them make it the best way they can. Is that what he said in the book of Hebrews? Amen. No. He said, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. I'm not going to help that stranger. Thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Amen, Brother Collins. I feel like some folks told me that right here in this church. Some folks, because you're so willing to help people and take them in, that they take advantage of you. That's all right. That's all right. I'll not do near enough, but I'd rather take in a few bad eggs than to miss the angels when they come by. And just a few years ago, whoo, glory to God, I didn't know whether I ought to leave my responsibilities here. The sick and the dying and the unexpected problems that can arise in a church this size and go see my sick folks in Arkansas and Missouri. So I paced back and forth and out of desperation, I stuck my thumb in the Bible and it said, I will certainly bring thee out, surely bring thee out, and thou shalt fall into the hands of strangers. Be careful. You'll be a stranger yourself sometime. Amen. Well, I thought I wouldn't go because that don't sound too good. Fall into the hands of strangers, but he said, I'll certainly bring thee out. And so I just deducted, Lord, you said you'd bring me out. You said I'd go out. I tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm just going to follow you one step at a time. And I climbed my diesel Oldsmobile 8 years ago and pointed the nose toward Arkansas and Missouri. Amen. And the right front tire on that Oldsmobile was getting low when I got to Wickliffe, Kentucky, just before I crossed into Illinois and Missouri. The two big bridges. So I pulled over in a gas station and aired that right front tire up without even a gauge. I mean, Dale, I put a lot of air in it. I didn't have enough air to get all the way to Arkansas. Amen. If there's a slow leak, I was going to put enough in there it could leak slow and get me all the way to Salem, Arkansas. Amen. About 4 miles this side of Poplar Bluff, I noticed a little thump, thump, thump on that tire, you know, a little vibration. I thought, well, that's where I plugged it a few years ago. Me and Andy was coming from somewhere and had a flat and had to plug the tire. Amen. And just kept going. Just this side of Poplar Bluff, they was working on a new road and had one side of it done, a new bypass. And right there, amen, 4 miles from the Poplar Bluff, thereabouts to turn off, amen, my right front tire exploded. It didn't blow out, slow out, it blew up. It exploded so hard it blew the top out of the wheel well in the right front part of that Oldsmobile. You can open the hood and look down and see the ground. Did $140 worth of damage under the hood. Amen. And it exploded. Well, consequently, it was so low and so flat that the scissor jack that came in the Oldsmobile run clear out of threads the time I got low enough to scoot under the frame. And I needed to lift that car 1 inch to get that jack started and raise that car up before I could change that tire. Amen. Well, I couldn't do it. I'm a very resourceful fella. I usually find a way to do it, one way or the other. Bright idea hit me. I know what, I'll take that little donut spare out of the trunk, I'll stick it out of the front of that tire and drive up on it, and I'll get my altitude and jack it up. But without anybody to stand in front to hold her foot against that tire, with me in the driver's seat trying to drive up on it, it just pushed that tire right down the road in front of it. Crunch, 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 crunch. It wouldn't climb up on it. So here I am back at my job again. And a green van swung around in front of me and backed up. And a fellow real spry and slim jumped out of his car and said, you need help, brother? Amen. I didn't tell him nothing. I didn't tell him I was a preacher. I didn't tell him who I was, where I was from, where I was going. I said, if I could just get my car up 1 inch, I could get my jack under it and change this car. He said, why? He said, I'll lift it for you. And he grabbed a hold of my bumper without knowing who I was, where I was from, or where I was going. And he said, get ready in the name of Jesus, he said. Amen. And I got that jack started. He still didn't know who I was. Jacked that car up and it started moving. I mean, it fell off that jack right back down on the pavement again. Amen. And he said, don't worry about it. We scotched the back tire. We'll get it this time. And he got a hold of the bumper again. He said, in the name of Jesus. And he lifted it and I worked the jack and got it started again. He sprung around. Amen. I got that tire jacked up, had the lug wrench on it, and the tire was going around and around and around. I couldn't get the lug loose. I said, I wasn't about to let it back down again. I said, would you mind sitting down in the driver's seat and put your foot on the brake so I can get these lugs loose? Sure. Bounded around the car. I got him loose, gave the signal. He got out of the car. Well, he said, I see you're a Christian too. He said, I saw your sword laying in the front seat. I loaded him down with tapes. Amen. He jumped back in that green van and turned around and went back the way he came. He didn't go on. He went back. For all I know, he was God's angel taking care of one of God's servants out there in need. Praise God. Oh, I don't want God to forget me, do you? Hallelujah. Amen. And I better not forget God. Praise God. I went to an auction yesterday, among other things. Big household auction, a big old farm. Amen. And while they was auctioning stuff off, this farmer had about probably 30 sheep laying out there in the shade of that big old barn. I just went down to the fence and looked at them up close. Amen. Some of them shied a little at first, and then they laid back down, chewing their cud in the shade. And I thought, those are sheep. Amen. And the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I thought, that farmer is going to take care of those sheep. He's probably give them all a name. Yeah. Old so-and-so. Old so-and-so. And there's so-and-so. So-and-so. I watched them a while. And I thought, some of them look like some of my members. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. We're his sheep. I'm the under shepherd, but we got a bigger shepherd up yonder, folks. And this old under shepherd hadn't done his job unless he does a good job pointing you to the other shepherd. Amen. A sister called me again the other day. Amen. I don't know how many thousand times in the last 22 years. Always the same thing, same need, same problem. And I said, sister, as long as you've been calling, and as long as you've been getting advice, you ought to be strong enough in the Lord to help somebody else now. But she's not. And we'll keep answering the phone. And we'll keep doing the best we can to stir up her pure mind by way of remembrance and minister to that sheep. But I tell you what, it'd be better if those sheep learned to look to the good shepherd. Don't forget God, you're going to need him. You don't want him to forget you, do you? Praise God. Why do we need these memorials? Why do we need revivals? Why do we need preachers? Why do we need men of God? Why do we need these history books? Why do we need this scripture? Oh, I don't need a Bible. I don't have any need for anybody to teach me. Hey, if you want a cure for death, eat this book. I thought about having Sister Collins make me one covered with chocolate and bring it to church. Look like a Bible. She'd make one that looks just like a Bible and just eat it in front of you. Amen. Eat the book, folks. It's a cure-all. Hallelujah. It'll doctor what ails you. Don't forget the book. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Amen. Jeff said it'll take you an hour to put that fan together. I thought, I got a electric portable drill. Take me no hour. No, sir. Amen. But 2 hours and a half later, I had it all together with a handful of parts left over. And then, that was after I got the book out and read the book. It always helps to read the directions, folks. Amen. Eat the book. It's a secret to your success. Don't forget the book, praise God. It's the way to glory. Don't forget the road map. One of the things about this one is, It don't ever change unless men get a hold of it and start monkeying with it. Amen. For years, you know, 60 highway and 160 and 142 remained the same there in southern Illinois. And one day, amen, I started following the signs and wound up in the wrong place. They had changed the road and hadn't changed the map. The wonderful thing about this book is you don't have to worry about that. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget the book. Don't forget the directions. Don't forget what God's done for us. And don't forget to rally to the cry of your brother and sister in need. That's the body of Christ. God bless you. You give a good offering.